Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, baby, how you doing? You know, I'm gonna come right to the chase, huh?
Here's another one of those fire-ass DJ at low exclusives.
Myself, I like to think that I was created for a special purpose. Now, what's more special than you?
DJ at low.
It's home, baby, let's get lost. You don't need to call in.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherelle. Yes, I am America's favorite Southern Belle, coming to you live from Athens, Georgia, people. Athens, Georgia. So let me go ahead and introduce my co-host, the oh-so-fabulous, oh-so-sweet, just make you want to pinch his cheeks, Jordan Lamar. Good morning, Jordan.
Well, what kind of an intro is that? Like, really? Like pinch my cheeks? Seriously?
Your cheeks. You know how the old people pinch your cheeks? They're like, oh, you're just so sweet. You just pinch your little fat cheeks.
I don't think anybody enjoyed that when they was a child.
Oh, my goodness, Jordan, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Can we get a do-over?
Mm-hmm. How you doing, people? How are you?
We missed you last week. We were all so excited to have you back on the show this morning, and you brought Grouchy, Jordan. Come on. Be chipper.
Grouchy. Never grouchy. I'm me. Like Lil Wayne say, I'm me.
Okay, how was your week, Jordan?
Oh, no, my week was crowded. Like, seriously, I've been moving around a whole lot. Like, it stopped. Today is the first day that I have nothing to do. Well, actually, I do have something to do. That's crazy. If it's not class, it's working out. If it's not working out, it's working. So, I mean, it's always something on my schedule.
I can totally relate to that. This is peak season for me and my team. Competition's coming up, and I tell you, it begins to really wear on you. Like, seriously, at the end of the week, it's like, everybody's like, what you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to rest. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rest. I'm tired. My week was hectic. I don't know. It's crazy. Today is part of a series, From Dreams to Reality. If you've been listening to the show, this is part of the series. And so, I mean, this is what 2010 is dedicated to, people. We're going to get things done. We're going to make some moves, definitely. We're not going to just sit idle like we've been doing these past years. This year, we're going to stick to things and really make these dreams become part of our reality. So in the series today, the first part is home buying, which that's a huge thing. Buying a house is a huge thing, and it's extremely scary if you don't know the process. I will admit that I'm a little intimidated by the process of buying a home. And so today on the show, we will have the oh-so-fabulous Octavia Bundridge with Metro Brokers. She is an agent with them, and she's going to ease some of our worries about buying a home. So, I mean, like I said, this is part of a series. Next week, we were talking about starting your own business. And, people, it is not as difficult as it sounds. Next week, part of our From Dreams to Reality series, that is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk with some business owners and just really find out what the process are. I mean, I'm sure it's going to just really empower you. That's what my goal of this show is to empower you. So buying a home, I don't know. Like, what do you think about that, George? I've noticed, and this is just in my observation, that there tend to be many blacks who are afraid to buy a home. Like, what do you think about that? Do you see that?
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I guess as far as buying a home, it goes along the lines of being afraid to be permanent, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Being a permanent place. You know what I'm saying? We are people that like to move around, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Really, stability is something we're afraid of for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I can totally agree with that because, I mean, that's been my thing. People, when I moved to Atlanta, everybody's like, you're going to buy a house? I was like, I don't know where I'm going to be right now. So I'm going to hold off on that because it does seem to be really permanent. And I guess one while when the economy isn't what it is now, it wasn't as scary because, okay, you buy a house and you decide, okay, I want to move, you just sell your house. But it's not as easy anymore as it used to be, and I think that maybe that might be part of what has sort of brought on additional fears is that you cannot just as easily unload this house now as you once could and move somewhere else.
I still can't just – I'm not comfortable with the idea of spending 50 years in an apartment. I just think of all the money that I could have saved, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I definitely see that. Now, I think that if you spend more than a year or two in one place, you're probably going to be there for a while unless your job relocates you. But I know people who have spent so much money renting a home. I'm talking about, I know a family in the hometown that I'm from who lived in that house since I can remember. Like, when I was a baby, they lived in that house because there are actually pictures of me being in that house visiting them. And they just bought a home, and I'm like, they sold their other house. I'm like, no, they were renting that house. I'm like, are you serious? That's like 20-plus years of rent. And then you buy a house.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling the whole, because to me that's like flushing your money. And like I said, if you're going to move around, then definitely do that. That's part of my, I've moved around a lot over the last, how old am I? 6 years. I have moved around quite a bit. Lived in, I don't know, I think six different places, maybe not quite six in the last 6 years, like a year each place or whatever. So I don't know, once I start to grow some roots, then it'll definitely be time to talk about a foundation, but not prior to.
Shoot, that's about to be said, man.
Say what? What?
About to be seven times in 7 years. Wow. You're on the road.
What? Yeah, well, you're right. I didn't think about that. I am getting ready to move again, so wow. That's heavy. That is so heavy. And yes, people, I'm saying heavy again. I'm giving you permission to use the word heavy. We're bringing it back in 2010. Heavy.
Oh, heavy.
Seriously. Okay, right before we bring Miss Octavia on the air, I have to talk about this. Okay, there seems to be I don't know, this trend with people wanting to get their 5 minutes of fame, and they find these little reality shows to do it. These reality shows act as their vessel for their 5 minutes of fame. And I don't watch American Idol because I don't really believe in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of the people who are truly talented do not make it to the end of the show. So, you know, the auditions are usually pretty funny. I mean, but we've been watching American Idol auditions for, what, like 10 years now? I'm tired of it. I'm so over it. I don't even watch it anymore. But there was this guy on when they were in Atlanta who had his song Pants on the Ground. Are you familiar with that song, Jordan, Pants on the Ground?
Oh, my God. That is so funny. That is the funny. I don't care nobody. So you can say you don't like American Idol with that. That is funny. Nick, come on, bro. Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. That is hilarious. I don't care what nobody says.
Okay, so I take it you've heard the song.
Yeah, I seen a little clip on YouTube. Oh my God, did he write that? Like, did he make that up?
Okay, and that's the whole thing. You know, he's saying that he wrote the song, but of course now somebody else is saying he stole the idea from them, and so I'm sure, you know, there's going to be all type of litigation about the entire thing. But that's not why I brought that up. It's actually because, okay, I had never heard the song. And until recently, I didn't even know what it was when we were in the process, me and my sister, we writing the script for our step team for the show that they have coming up on the 20th of this month. And she put the little line in there about pants on the ground, head turned sideways. And I was like, what is this? I took it out because I didn't know what it was. And so then when she was explaining to me, the kids were like, yeah, we want to say it. And I was like, okay, pants on the ground. Like, I still don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, whatever. If y'all know what they're talking about, the crowd will probably know. Leave it in there. Well, the guy performed at the Hawks game yesterday.
Did he really?
And he was
Hawk got him to come to perform that?
Yes. Yes. And so, like, seeing it on ESPN, seeing a little clip or whatever, I'm like, okay, who is this dude? So, of course, I had to look him up because I had no idea of who he was or anything about the show. So I had to look him up. And so looked him up. Saw what the show, you know, saw what his little song or whatever was about. He called himself General Larry Platt. So, you know, that supposedly some civil rights person gave him that name or whatever. But I don't know. It was kind of hilarious to me to see this black man rolling around on the ground, talking about pants on the ground, gold in your mouth, looking like a fool. And I'm thinking to myself, you look about the same. You know.
Trying to prove a point.
He might have been trying to prove a point, but homeboy in the process of trying to prove that point is trying to milk his 5 minutes of fame.
Hey, he did, though. He famous, ain't he? Shoot. Hey, you can't knock his gimmick. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let him do his thing. I mean, shoot, if we can make a song called Two-Step or Lean With It, Rock With It, I mean, come on, let the dude do what he do. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever. Okay, I hear you on that tip. I mean, I ain't knocking him, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I kind of had to hang my head and say for a little bit. Like, I get what he's saying, but I don't know. I think maybe the delivery could have been a little bit better because he know he can't sing.
Oh, yeah, he knew that.
I mean, it was all part of the whole 5 minutes of fame thing or whatever. So I'm not going to knock him for that. You know, do what you do. Get your 5 minutes or whatever. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But are you ready, Jordan?
Looking like a fool, put your pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Yeah, I'm ready. Hey, get that out.
I'm so glad it's out your system now. Like, thank you for getting it out. All right, so right now, very important number for everyone who is listening via internet. Guest call-in number 646-595-4522. Call in. Talk to me. Kay Sherelle, I want to talk to you. Do you want to talk to me? Call me and let me know. I'm listening.
Sound like one of them commercials at night that you see on TV.
Dollar date.
I want to talk to you. Do you want to talk to me?
You have a voice for it while you're making jokes.
What?
You have the voice for it. Seriously, though, you know you have one of those 900 number voices. Like, seriously, is that your job? Because I noticed I don't ever talk to you at night. Because I was in the daytime.
I wish. Anybody want to put me on? I'll let you, boy. Jordan Lamar at SherelleLink.com.
Wow. This show is for all ages, Jordan. I just want to point that out to you, okay?
So?
People, I apologize for my co-host. He is a nut, I swear. All right, no more jokes. Seriously, this is a serious show. Empowering people. Get your serious voice on. All right. So right now, without further ado, we're going to bring on the air with us Miss Octavia Bundridge of Metro Brokers in Atlanta, Georgia. Going to bring her on the air right now. Good morning, Octavia. How are you doing? You're on the air with Kay Sherelle and Joy Lamar. Good morning.
Good morning, Kimberly. Well, Miss Kay Sherelle, excuse me, let me get that right. And Jordan Lamar, how are you all?
I'm fantastic.
I'm fantastic as well. I can
tell. No, not fantastic.
You all...
We're silly this morning. I apologize.
Oh, no problem, no problem. We all need a good laugh on a beautiful Saturday morning like this. No problem.
Go ahead and tell the callers about yourself. Give your bio. This your 5 minutes of fame, girl. Tap in.
All right. Well, once again, my name is Octavia Blanchard, and I am an agent, real estate agent with Metro Brokers. Better Home and Gardens Metro Brokers. We just switched over from Metro Brokers to MAC. So Better Home and Gardens Metro Brokers Atlanta. Been a licensed real estate agent for 2 years. I love the business. I love informing people about the business. I'm a new homeowner myself, and I can honestly say that I made a few mistakes when I bought my first home. So my job is to prevent others from making the same mistakes that I did. And to answer any questions possible, as many questions as possible that I can in the process of buying a home. And I know it can be scary for some, but I'm here as well as other agents to ease those fears and answer all of your questions.
Okay, like, you kind of talk kind of fast. I was trying to catch
up. I'm sorry. That's just me. But go ahead with your questions.
That was like real estate on speed.
That's like, sound like at the end of a commercial when they start doing the little fine print talk.
Okay, well, let me slow it down again and repeat what I just said. Like I said, 2 years licensed real estate agent with Better Homes and Gardens Metro Brokers. Like I said before, my job as a real estate agent is to ease those fears and help the process go as smoothly as possible when buying a home. I know it can be scary. I know you all, a lot of people don't know where to start, like you all said before, and it's that fear of making that commitment, and I just want to ease those fears and answer any questions as possible, as many questions as I possibly can through this process.
So where exactly do you start when you want to buy a home?
All right, the first step in buying a home is to actually sit down and make a budget. I know a lot of people like to start looking at the pretty houses on the website, seeing what they like first, and not looking at what they can afford. And I think the first step in it is looking at your current budget, looking at how much money you bring in and how much money you're sending out, and see how much you can actually afford. And there's a lot of programs out there that are available online, and also if you go into real estate offices, they can give you some kind of programs to help you figure out how much you are able to afford and get pre-qualified. So the first step yes, go ahead.
Okay, so you're talking about the first step is to look at a budget and things like that. Now, let me ask you this question real quick because it's in my head. Now, I've heard that the majority of the time your rent is a lot more than what a mortgage would actually be. Do you see that to be true?
That can be in some cases. Of course, it depends on the price of the home you buy and the actual mortgage that you take on. Say if your current rent is $750,000, I'm thinking in big house terms, $750 for rent. If you get a mortgage probably around the $100,000 range or between $100,000 and $110,000, you'll probably still be in that $750 range, or you might even be up in the $900. It actually depends on the mortgage loan that you take on. So that can be in some cases true.
And see, that was what I was thinking in the terms of that, because I'm thinking to myself that, you know, especially if you live in the city, you live in Atlanta, your rent is high regardless of, you know, pretty much where you are, you're within certain city limits. And so, and I know several people have told me, they were like, well, you know, I was paying, you know, $1,200 a month in rent for a two-bedroom, you know, in Atlanta, but I bought a house just on the outskirts or whatever, and I'm saving $400 a month, and I'm like, wow. So I was just wondering, you know, is your rent a good gauge, too, of what you can and cannot afford? Because if you've been paying rent for, you know, the last 5 years and your rent, you know, is up there, then that sort of lets you know right there that that's the kind of mortgage payment you can afford as well.
Exactly right. And that's where the pre-qualification process comes in as well. seeing how much you're paying out, and then also seeing how much during that pre-qualification process, they're going to tell you how much you can afford, and also the loan amount that you would need to keep your payments where you want to be. So,
okay.
That's the first
thing. What's in the pre-qualification? Like, what do you need? Like, is there any paperwork you need to go through the pre-qualifying process, or you just show up with yourself?
Okay, let me get something just straightened out, because I know some people have a difficulty distinguishing the differences between pre-qualification and pre-approval. Pre-qualification, you don't need any documents. It's no commitment, no credit checks. They're just going to ask you questions about your income and your debt-to-income ratio. How much money are you making? How much? Give me an estimate of your bills. It's a pre-qualification process. The pre-approval process is when they are going to ask you about your work history. They're going to check your credit. They're going to need your tax records from at least the last 2 or 3 years, depending on your credit score. They're going to need your tax records to see how much money you have been bringing in. And also, excuse me, oh, gosh, got to get off the nerves, guys. Radio is much different than talking to people in person. But, your tax
we're
records.
We're friendly. We're friendly. Don't be nervous.
We don't bite hard, but,
we don't leave little teeth marks on you, but ain't no blood going to be shed.
Thank you for clearing that up. Okay, but tax records, income verification, previous paychecks in the last 3 months, just to show where your income is coming from, to show that you've been working. And that's about it at first, unless they need more documents.
Okay.
And usually that's done in a loan office. Real estate agents, I want to make that clear as well. We don't do the loan process. It's a totally different arena from us. We find you the home and put you through that process, and we refer you to a loan officer to help you with that as well. But I can answer any other questions you might have about it.
Okay, so you don't actually go through the process of the what it takes to get in a home to get qualified.
Not the loan process. No, we're not over the loan process. We refer you to loan officers. And a lot of companies, such as Metro Brokers, we have in-home loan officers, Metro loans. And some companies, I'm sorry, you have a question?
No, I was just saying, mm-hmm.
Okay, and some companies, they will refer you to outside companies such as W.R. Starkey, Wells Fargo, different loan mortgage companies to help you get that loan.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you know of any, like, home buying programs and things like that? Just because I'm wondering how everything, you know what I'm saying, like to start out, because I know that one of the biggest things is with people is the debt. And don't really, you know, if you have debt, you know, as far as like being able to buy a home or whatever like that. And so I guess my question is, you know, like any programs that you can refer people to if they're interested in buying a home, but they know they have some debt that they need help with clearing up to be able to go through the process.
Oh, yes, there are hundreds of programs out there that can help you with that. But one thing is people need to be aware of what programs they choose and to choose reputable ones. Don't go those signs that are on the side of the freeway, $99 for 6-bad credit. Don't call
yes.
those. One of the best ways to research a credit counseling agency is to go to the credit counseling agency, Consumer Credit Counseling Society, ACL.org, and they will actually refer you to some programs that can help you improve your credit. There's a lot of brokers as well out there that offer some programs that will tell you what you need to do to fix your credit, but those aren't really that. They're not as exact as credit counseling agencies could be. Once again, this for... just to repeat it, CCCSATL.org is a website that you can go to get you to help basically through the government to give you agencies that could help you improve your credit. And one particular program in Atlanta that I know helps with credit is NACA. NACA is the acronym. And NACA helps puts you through a class and helps you get your credit fixed in order to get you approved for a home. And more than likely, about 90% of people who go through NACA will get approved to buy a home, depending on their credit. If they go through the classes and they meet the requirements, you can get approved to buy a home.
Okay.
And HUD.gov, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. HUD.gov is probably the best resource for people with credit issues.
HUD.
Yes, to get those FHA loans.
Okay, that's great. Now, I have another question because, you know, I'm just full of those at the time as I think of them. Now, this, clear this up for me, because I know that one of the things I do hear some of my family and friends say when they get ready to buy a house, you know, I can't afford no $300,000 house. Like, you know, everybody has this misconception that, you know, to get a nice house with, you know, more than just maybe one or two bedrooms, that they're gonna have to spend, you know, $300,000 and $400,000 to buy a home. I mean, homes are not that expensive, are they?
They are not. By no means. Especially in the market that we're in right now. Homes vary, of course, and there are many different ways to buy a home for the price that you're looking for. You have foreclosures, of course, where you know homes are sold undervalued because someone defaulted on their loan or couldn't make their loan payments. You have foreclosures. You also have REOs, which are bank-owned homes. That's very similar to foreclosures. And you also have tax sales for homes. So there's a number of ways that you can buy a home that are undervalued. And the average American home, three bedroom, two bath, is going to range you between, sometimes maybe $50,000 and up, depending on what you get.
$50,000
in the market that we're in right now, yes, ma'am. Now, those you will have to do some work on. Some of them you do have to do a lot of work on, but I guarantee you can find one for that cheap in the market that we're in right now.
Wow.
Yes.
That's heavy. That word again, people. That's heavy. $50,000. Okay.
$50,000.
That's interesting because Jordan and I know someone who would really like to have, now this is completely out there, a six-bedroom home. Because
a six-bedroom
she would like,
home?
Yeah, because she wants a bedroom for each of the children and then, you know, one for her and her husband to share and then a guest bedroom, you know, for when people come over to visit.
Uh-huh.
You know, you think that's kind of out there? Nice six-bedroom home.
I don't think that's kind of out there. There are a lot of options depending on what area you're in. And now, closer to the city, you're probably not going to find a six-bedroom home with all the bells and whistles that you're looking for and the price range that you might want. But it is possible to find something in that price range, to find that type of house.
But I think I think that's where the person wanted to stay, was like really near the city, you know what I'm saying? Six bedrooms is a lot of rooms, and it's kind of like, it's kind of far-fetched in a sense, coming out of college or coming wherever you are, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of far-fetched. You have to be well into your career in order to purchase a six-bedroom, you know what I'm saying, a six-bedroom house. That's kind of, like, big.
Okay, well, not quite.
It's not hunting season, Jordan. It's not hunting season. Why are you killing the dream? Put your rifle up.
And you also have to think about where bedrooms can be in a home, the space that are offered in home. Okay, you have rooms that aren't even considered bedrooms in real estate listings. You have basements where you can get about three or four bedrooms downstairs. And those aren't even listed in real estate listings. When they list homes on the MLS, those aren't even listed. So you could have a three-bedroom home that had three bedrooms in a basement that only didn't come up. So it is possible, but, you know, it's a dream that can be reached, but it's a dream that you're going to have to go far to look for. So we can get it for you.
That's what I like, Octavia, that go-get-em attitude. She says that she will find a six-bedroom home. Doggone it. I like that. Really though, but just tell us a little bit more about, like, I guess real estate, you mainly do what, the Greater Atlanta area?
Greater Atlanta area, yes. Yeah, South Metropolitan area, Clayton County, Fulton County, DeKalb County. South, just the South area, yeah, mainly.
Okay, so why don't you tell us about some of the homes that you've been looking at lately? You might be some callers that are interested and just don't really know what's out there.
Okay, well, I deal mainly with single-family homes. There are single-family detached homes mainly, but there are a number of townhomes that are out there, brand-new townhomes that are out there, $100,000 and less, that I viewed recently, two bedrooms, two-and-a-half baths, single-family homes that are under $100,000, three or more bedrooms, two-and-a-half baths, so the market is out there. If you want it, it's pretty much out there to get. It's a buyer's market. If you're looking for it, I promise you it's probably there.
Let me ask you, now what do you mean, because I don't speak real estate. What do you mean single-family homes?
Single-family homes are those with, okay, like Jordan said, with the kids, a room for each one of the kids, a guest bedroom, family room, dining room, the living room, all the bells and whistles, you know, nice backyard, detached from all your neighbors, even though some homes, if you pay cash, your neighbor can probably smell them in Atlanta because they're so close. But the single-family home are the traditional homes for families. The four-bedroom,
okay,
two-and-a-half baths, you know, the dream home for the husband and
the
wife.
The white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and the puppy.
That's correct.
2.5.
That's what the number is.
I never quite understood that either. I never quite understood 2.5 myself.
But that's the American. The American dream is the husband, the wife, the house, 2.5 kids. Now, I don't know where the 0.5 comes in at. I don't know,
but
maybe.
It's a baby. Is it a midget or something? Like.
Never understood that myself.
You know what? That's a good question, George. Is the 0.5 kid, is that kid a midget? I don't know.
Well, my bad.
Great
a
question.
Little person? A little person. That's politically correct, right?
I don't know. I don't speak short people, so.
Wow.
I have no idea. I know you have your little people, you have your dwarves and all of the other stuff. But that's a different show, Jordan. You're getting off topic.
Oh, my.
I told you we are silly. I tell you, you have to excuse us. We are so.
Oh, I accept it and I embrace it. It's just fine.
Okay, so I don't know. This is another question that just popped in my head. This is the other thing, too, with buying a home. You know, homes, I guess I really want to know about in this economy, like what's mainly out there? Are there mainly foreclosures out there, bank-owned homes? I mean, what's out there?
Yes, the majority of the homes that you're going to find now are bank-owned and foreclosed homes, a lot of HUD homes. The market isn't really right now for sellers who are trying to sell their home the traditional way because there's so much competition out there with foreclosures right now. So that's another reason why home values have dropped so much because the value of a home, the intrinsic value is different from the market value. If you have 10 homes in your neighborhood for sale around you for $100,000, and you bought your home for $150,000 3 years ago, if that house down the street is just like yours, that's selling for $100,000, no one's going to buy your house for that price. Yet you still have a loan to pay off when you sell your home. So it's really not a good idea. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not a good idea to sell your home right now, but it's highly unlikely in this market for sellers to get what they expect from selling their home. So, yes, it is more foreclosures out there than anything right now.
Okay. And most in the majority, and these are what, what kind of foreclosures are there? My friend bought a foreclosure. It was actually a contractor, and funding got messed up along the way, and he could not finish the houses that he had. And so they ended up actually going into foreclosure, and, like, her basement was unfinished, and appliances and all of those things were left out because he just kind of, I guess, left the work site or things like that. Like, you know, what kind of condition are, I guess, most of the foreclosure out there? Like, what would you recommend someone buy? Because I know they're cheap, but I guess it depends on what all needs to be done to it determines whether or not it's really going to be a good deal for you in the end.
And you're right about that. The majority of foreclosed homes are sold as is. So you want to do the research and find out, what's wrong with the home before you buy it. You can't just go based off of physical value either. You need to get an inspection. Although it is sold as is, you can request to have an inspection done on the home before you buy it to see what all you would have to do to it before you make that large investment, because it's a big purchase and you don't want to find something later on that you're going to fix that's going to cost you more money than what it's worth. So it depends on the person, how much you're willing to spend to make those repairs in a home. It really depends on the person. But you want to get that inspection done to see what's wrong with these foreclosed homes before you buy it.
Okay.
But the reality is the seller is not going to give you a lot of money to make repairs because they are sold as is. Unless you buy a HUD home. And the good thing about HUD, I'm sorry, not a HUD home,
yeah.
Okay. A HUD home, HUD.
Okay, HUD. Okay.
Forgive me for being country, Jordan. You know I'm ACL born and raised.
ATL. Okay. Yeah, look, I'm from Worth County. Do you know where that is?
Yes, but one good thing about a HUD home is the fact that a lot of the HUD homes actually have an escrow account already. And an escrow account is money set aside to make repairs for things that need to be done to the home. So, say if a HUD home needs $2,300 in repairs, HUD will have an allowance for you to make those repairs without taking out a loan, but you will have to make the repairs first and have receipts to prove that you made the repairs, and they will actually give you that money back. So, that is a benefit of buying HUD for a HUD foreclosure.
Okay.
Okay. So what this, like, I guess give us a general overview of what the entire process is. Like, okay, you say you start with the pre-qualification, which is different than the pre-approval. Like, just take us through what the steps are quickly.
Okay. Well, first step, like I said, getting pre-qualified, seeing what you can afford. After you know what you can afford, of course, through a real estate agent and through a loan company. Well, let me first tell you what's going to happen when you go in and talk to a real estate agent like myself. When you first talk to a real estate agent, we're going to go ahead and get you pre-qualified right away to see how much you're able to afford in a home. And then you'll start the process of looking for a house. If the credit isn't up to par, we will refer you to credit counseling agencies to help you get your credit in the right place, get your credit score where it needs to be. Because if it's less than a 620, then it's highly unlikely that you're going to get a loan, a good loan with a good interest rate. So
what you say the number is?
620 for some loan companies.
Okay. Yeah, because I've seen some that were advertised. I know where I'm from. I see the billboards, and they're like, your credit score is 500 and above, we can put you in a house.
And that's one of the reasons why our market is the way it is right now. Because a lot of loan practices were out there where people really could not afford the homes that they are in and in the long term lost them. So if a loan company is advertising they can get you in a home when your credit score isn't where it needs to be, that's probably not the one that you want to be dealing with. You want to deal with a company that's reputable and is going to say, well, look, we don't think that you can afford this right now, but let's take these steps to get you where you need to be in the future. because you don't, in the long term, want to lose your home to foreclosure because you really couldn't afford it and someone told you you could.
Okay. And I can understand that wholeheartedly and, you know, and completely in that sense, because we definitely don't want our market to get worse. We want to get better. Now, this is something, I don't know if you can answer this question or not, but I have this question because I'm a huge reality TV show fan, Bravo especially, and MTV. And I hear on Real Housewives, everybody's talking about short sales. What's a short sale of a home?
Okay, a short sale is when you are at least 30 or more days late on a mortgage payment, and pretty much they're probably going to start the process of foreclosing on your home. And to avoid that, you come to an agreement, or you try to come to an agreement with your mortgage company to allow you to sell the house for less than what it's worth. And in essence, it won't hurt your credit as much as a foreclosure, because banks really don't want to foreclose on homes. They'll do, because it's going to cost them more money in the long run. So in some instances, they will approve a sale for a house that's less than what the loan amount was originally. So a short sale, just to give you an example, if you got a $150,000 loan on a home and now you can't afford to make the payments anymore,
uh-huh,
you would ask the bank to approve you for a short sale at maybe $120,000 to take care of the loan, to just get rid of it, period. And that's what a short sale is. You sell the home less than what it's worth. That's it.
Okay. And so the hit is not as big, and basically you don't gain anything, but at the same time, you know, you're kind of losing, I guess, what, equity or whatever?
Yes, you do lose your equity, and most times the bank won't come after you for the remaining balances, the remaining balance on the home, because if you sold that home for $120,000 and you got a loan for $150,000, you still owe the bank $30,000 on that house. And in most cases with the short sale, they're not going to come after you, but every situation is different. It depends on what kind of agreement you come to with the bank.
Okay. Yep. Well, I'll tell you right now, we're going to pause because I have a caller on the line.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and say good morning to the caller. This is Real Talk Radio. You're on with Keisha Rell, co-host Jordan Lamar, and we have Miss Octavia Bundridge on. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning. This is Trenicia Dunn.
Hi, Trenicia.
Hello.
How are you?
Do you have a question for us this morning?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a question for us this morning or a comment?
I have a question for Ms. Octavia Bundridge.
Okay.
You are making the home buying process sound so easy, but I just have one question about credit scores. Is there, like, a set credit score that the lenders are looking for when they check your credit report?
Well, like I said, the bottom, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a set score because they look at more factors than just your credit score, of course, like your work history and everything. But at least, because my credit score wasn't even over 700 when I bought my home, so I would say anything above 620 is probably pretty good. But anything below, you'll probably need credit counseling and credit programs to help you raise that score.
Okay. I didn't know if you had answered that question before I signed on.
No. Oh, no, 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 no. But, no. Yes, anything at least, I would say between 650, anything above 650, you should be okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Did I answer your question? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Trenicia, for listening to the show and calling in with your question. We hope that you will continue to listen to us as we wrap up this discussion with Octavia. So let me make sure I'm understanding this correctly. So basically, if your credit is not up to par, it's not like they're going to tell you, no, you can't buy a house. It is more along the lines of, you can't buy the house right now. You need to do this first.
Exactly.
And like I said, there are a number of programs, and I'm not trying to plug my company, but if you were to go to the website, metrobrokers.com, there is actually a program that's, and we don't make any income off of this. It's about, I believe it's $29.99 for a single person. They can actually give you steps to help you improve your credit and tell you, they pull your credit score and tell you how much to pay each month to get your credit score to where it needs to be in a certain amount of time to buy your home. So they're not going to say no, but, yeah, you do. There are certain steps that you do need to take before you can buy a home if your credit score is not where it needs to be.
And I think that maybe that's, like, the biggest fear is that you're just going to be told no. It's sort of like when you go to buy a car and they'll flat out tell you no. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess this is a little bit more, I don't know. I would say that I would feel a little bit more ease if you're like, okay, no, you cannot buy, like, we're saying you can't buy the house within the next 6 months, but if you do this, maybe in the next year you can buy, you know, the house you want or whatever like that. It depends on, I guess, how many steps take and how long all of that goes.
And I also want to say, like, there are a number of different loan programs out there for people with not-so-good credit, such as, I mean, an FHA loan. An FHA loan will only require you to put down 3% of the purchase value of a home. So if you're trying to buy a $100,000 house and you're putting down 3%, you're only putting down $3,000. Or sometimes even less than that if you can get a down payment assistance program. A down payment assistance program is when some nonprofit organizations will give you your down payment towards your home. And sometimes it's at no cost to you, and sometimes they do roll that amount into your loan as a whole, but you don't have to put the money up front. So there are a number of programs out there for people with credit issues. Just do the information, ask a professional to help you find those programs.
Okay. All right. That is, I'm liking this whole thing a little bit more. It's still sort of a heavy situation. Is that word again, people? Say what?
You and that word.
Don't hate on the word. That word is there. It's heavy, Jordan. It's heavy. So, I mean, even with that, I mean, it's, you know, but I'm feeling better about it. It's not as heavy. The load has definitely been light off of it because I'm feeling like I'm going to be real estate ready, you know, within the next couple of years if I stay in one place long enough. You know, that's definitely something I'll probably want to do, and now I'm sort of knowing it. So I guess maybe since I'm already like, okay, in the next couple of years I'm going to want to buy a house, it would be good to go ahead and start looking into some of those programs and things and just really seeing what steps, you know, I would need to take if I have any steps to take to be ready. And definitely start saving up. What percentage did you say, Octavia, is necessary on a house?
If it's an FHA loan, about 3% of the purchase price. If it's a conventional loan, it's a little bit more. That's about 20% of the purchase price.
That's a big, that's 17% different. You said,
did you hear
I can plug at the end, though? She said a little bit more. Then she said 20%. We went from 3 to 20.
Well, those conventional loans are for those people who have been saving for a home for a long time. Maybe over a couple of years. But the FHA is the most common one for, like I said, people with credit issues and those who don't have a large down payment. That 3% won't hurt as bad as that 20%.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And because it's all off of, and I learned this a couple of years back, in dealing with loans, earnest money, correct? You have to show where you earn the money.
No. Earnest money actually is between the buyer and the seller, actually, not with the loan company. The loan company isn't involved unless the seller is a HUD or a bank. But earnest money is pretty much an agreement between the seller and the buyer. okay, well, I'm interested in buying your home, Mr. or Mrs. Seller. I'm willing to put down $1,000 earnest money to show you that I'm serious in buying your home. And usually if the closing costs and everything doesn't eat it up, the buyer receives the earnest money back at the table at closing.
You said the big word, right? You said closing costs. Please talk about what is closing costs.
Okay, closing costs deals with the bank. Is any fees or any cost that deals with the origination and the closing of a real estate loan, of a loan. So closing costs could be the appraisal, the loan origination fee, the closing costs for the attorneys, the fees for the attorney, not the closing costs, the fees for the attorneys that close, that do the closing process, insurance, how much insurance you have to pay towards your home before you close on it, taxes, a number of things for closing costs. The list goes on and on. Whenever you close for a home, make sure you have your real estate agent look over the closing contract, because there are a number of things on the closing contract. But it's
okay.
Anything that deals with the closing of the house for the loan.
Okay.
Cool.
And remember, buyers, that sellers can pay closing costs, so don't think it all has to come from you. You can request the seller to pay your closing costs.
Really?
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
You can.
A lot.
A lot,
really?
Especially if they're trying to get out of the home. And you can ask for as much as you like. That doesn't mean they have to accept it, because once again it's a contract, so all parties have to agree. But usually,
okay.
With the real estate agent, they will ask for at least 3 to 5% of closing costs. It's the norm.
Okay. Interesting. Well, we're gonna go ahead and start wrapping this thing up. So, Octavia, you want to tell everybody how they can get in contact with you? Go right on ahead. Let people know where to find you if they have additional questions or if they're interested in buying a home, starting this process.
Okay. Telephone number 404-788-2641 is the best way to contact me. Also, my website, octavia.bundridge@metrobrokers.com, and there's also the website that you can find me and ask me questions on. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. And once again, that's 404-788-2641. Give me a call.
All right. Well, Octavia, I want to say thank you so much for being on the show and being a part of this From Dreams to Reality series, because I know many people have been dreaming about buying a home for years, and the situation is so heavy, they don't know where to start. But we want to just say thank you for lighting that heavy load again. So, like I said, thank you so, so much. Any final words, comments, thoughts, scriptures, songs?
Well, guys, thank you once again for inviting me to be on the show. But don't be afraid of the process. Like we said, the worst is just them telling you that you probably have to wait a little bit longer than what you wanted to. So it's not as bad as you all think. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the commitment. And go for it. If it's a dream of yours, just go for it. And
all
we're
right.
always here to help.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Octavia, thank you. Thank you. Jordan, any final words to Octavia?
No, Miss Octavia, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you. Well, we hope that you will continue to listen to our show every week, Octavia, and all the other callers out there as we wrap up the show. You know, I don't know. I'm feeling very good today. I got to tell you, Jordan, you just don't understand. The show was fantabulous last week, but me and the callers, we were really missing you being on the air with us. You know, you bring a certain je ne sais quoi that just cannot be found from anyone else.
Oh, what?
Got to broaden your horizons, Jordan, like, seriously.
I'll be all right. This is America. I speak English.
this is America and you speak English?
Yeah, that don't sound like English.
It wasn't English, actually, but yeah. I mean, we don't even speak true English in America. Let's address that.
Oh, but anyway, so, like, do we have an announcement today, like, seriously?
Do I have an announcement to make? Do you have an announcement to make?
I said, do we have an announcement? Do we have an announcement?
Yes, we do. You want to make the announcement?
Well, callers, recently, me and Kimberly Shura just got engaged. So the date is June 5th. I guess
the date.
you just got quiet, like you really didn't want to tell anybody.
I mean, it's not that. It's just that making that announcement so heavy.
Look, check this out. We got to start with the word. The word just don't make sense. I don't know. I guess I grew up.
It does. It does make sense. But, yes, people, you know, yeah, the Roman, yeah, we're engaged, yes. That is why he plugged in the,
You sound so happy. Just, yeah, we got engaged. Yeah, everybody,
no.
I held a shotgun to her head, people, yes. I made her say yes.
He did. I was quite afraid. It was a double barrel. He was talking like Elmer Fudd and everything. Be very, very quiet.
This
and
the
he was hunting me.
Oh, wait.
But that is why the show will be moving this summer from Atlanta, Georgia, to the mountains, people. But don't worry, I will still be bringing it to you live. It will just be Mountaineer live.
Exactly. West Virginia.
Oh, man. And this is the question. I know y'all are thinking the same thing because I had to ask him this. Are there black people in West Virginia? I've heard stories of people.
Huntington, West Virginia is nothing but black people. That's crazy because.
But we all saw Marshall, and there were white people all up and through that movie.
I know. Marshall is very white. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted at all. Marshall is very white. But, I don't know, there's a lot of black people in Huntington. You see them all the time. Now, they're kind of funny-looking black people, but they're black. They have dark pigment.
What do you mean they're funny-looking? Now you're not making me feel any better about this thing. I don't know, callers. Y'all talk to me. Do I need to think about this thing? You said they are funny looking. What do you mean they're funny? Huh?
Have you seen Wrong Turn?
Don't play. Because you know, that is don't. Because you know, that is my biggest fear right there. The mountain people climbing down, you know, they can smell. I've heard that if you're not from there, they can smell that you're different. And, you'll see them, outside your house and whatnot at night, sniffing around.
They can. And, what's the crazy part about it? You don't know what's funny? Wrong Turn was made in West Virginia.
Say what?
The movie Wrong Turn was made in West Virginia.
Okay, what's funny about that? That is so not funny, Jordan. I'm not at all. I'm not feeling this right now. You making jokes, but you know that is my fear, the mountain people coming down and getting me. You know, they'll throw something at my car and make me get a flat or something, and then they'll just come out the woods, you know, start barking and whatnot. Oh, my God. That's not funny.
What? They don't bark in the woods. Barking? Is that what you're afraid of? They're barking at you? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and howling and growling.
I
don't know, but are you excited? I'm excited. Do I sound excited?
No, you sound like you're babbling.
Ah, how dare you. People, do you hear how he treats me? Oh, my goodness. Write to me. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and close out the show at this point. Just wanted to give you that little bit of information. Next week, the show will be brought to you live. Jordan and I will be reunited once again in person for the show. If you thought it was silly today, you know how bad it gets when we are actually in the same room. Just want to say thank you to everyone who listened to the show. Thank you to the caller who called into the show. Thank you, Octavia, again for being on the show. This is part of our series, From Dreams to Reality. Next week, the show will deal with starting your own business, and we will talk to someone who has started her own business. Now, starting a business doesn't have to be a full-time thing. You can start a business and let it start out as part-time, and then as it grows, move to full-time. So next week with her company, Beautiful Life, we will have on the show Ms. Tia Ford. So please tune in next week and listen to the information that she will be bringing to you. Any final words, Jordan?
You know I don't have any final words. I just cut the show off and just stop talking. That's how I would do it. But that's just me, though.
Yeah, that's why you're the co-host, Jordan. You can't just cut the show off. Everything has to have an ending. You need closure. That might be because you're a man. Women need closure, Jordan. We need closure. You can't just say, you know what, this is not working for me, peace. Like, what? We need closure. So I'm bringing my callers the closure that they desire.
I hear you. So all your callers are women. That's what you're saying.
No, all my callers are not women. I've had male callers on the show, Jordan.
Just saying. You said men don't need closure.
Y'all don't need it, but women need it, so why not give it to the women who need it, and the men are just there listening to it. Like, Jordan, we're not married yet. Do not do this. Do not do this, but hey, you're still my number one. Even if you don't need closure. People, you see, I can't even get love on the air. I don't know what I'm going to do with this guy. He is fantabulous, though. So, closing out the show, Real Talk Radio host Kay Sherrell, co-host Mr. Jordan Lamar. Just want to give everybody the minute that they need. So just right now, K-9 is going to let you take a minute. Thank you for listening to the show. Hope you will tune in next week. One love from my heart to yours, from my lips to your ears. Godspeed. See you next week.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt,
you know they
can
hear you singing,
getting me up off the wall. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe.
How did Mandela get the will to surpass the everyday when injustice had him caged and trapped in every way? How did Gandhi ever withstand a hunger strikes and all? Didn't do it to gain power or money, if I recall. It's a gift, I guess I'll pass it on. Mother thinks it'll lift the stress.